Hello, I'm Rob London. Welcome to What Would Brian Bevan Say? So, as Warrington make their journey to face the rhinos, where are my two endangered podcasters? Firstly, he hasn't produced a statistic in the wild for over a decade, now safely housed in podcast captivity as part of an ongoing What Bevan conservation programme. Introducing Sam Sankey.
Hello.
And also a man who, like a rhino, is technically impressive but largely confused, easily startled and prone to charging straight past the point without ever actually finding it. Yes, it's Dennis Waywell.
Thanks for that.
What have we got this morning, boys? I'm a little bit jealous this morning, if I must say.
Oh, yes.
Mrs. London is going for lunch. She's been taken out to lunch by a well-known British celebrity cook. I'll say his name. I'll have to beep it out.
I mean, I did send you a message, didn't I, in the week? Am I allowed to say that as well?
Yeah, you can say that.
Okay, well, I said, watch out for his chat-up line. Do you fancy any cockles?
So. She was on the couch last night. She was chuckling. She was reading a message. She was chuckling to herself. I said, why are you chuckling to yourself? She said, I've just had a message from...
Is that another bleep?
That's another bleep, yeah. Oh, she said he sent me the menu, what he's going to cook for me.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Is there any love muscles in it or cockles? Or?
Dare you? How dare? My marriage is on the edge here.
All I've got to say is Timothy Taylor have brought out a new website, so just go and check that out. We've got a new map showing where you can get all the Timothy Taylors, so I'll expect a beer mat in the post. A couple of things. Sam, are we still on the hype train, or is it an optimistic express?
No, just still a hype train. We've not got to express level yet. Train.
Okay. And Rob, what was the last time, when was the last time we were doing the podcast that we had such a positive start and everybody's so happy? Can you remember?
Don't think we ever have we? I don't think in all the time, what are we on, season 7 are we now of the pod? Let me have a look. Is it season 8, is it?
Yeah.
177. Is the episode. Season 8. So yeah, no, I don't
You've not mentioned anyone dying yet, have you?
No.
The last time I was on a train, if I can remember rightly, it was the Challenge Cup final, and I went to visit Dennis. He was living down in South Wales. It was this beautiful, was it a thatched pub? It was very nice.
Yes, it was.
Beautiful thatch cottage pub in the village, and they just so happened they had a beer festival on. The night before the... We were playing Huddersfield in the final. I think it was the first year we beat Huddersfield. I think it was the first year.
Yeah.
And I got absolutely smashed. And I had to be carried out of the pub, literally carried out of the pub. And the next day, I just lay down on the platform waiting for this track. I said, I can't go. Just leave me.
That was after you shoved aubergine down the bath drain, wasn't it? After you were sick in there. You know, I thought, you know... I was looking back because it's next week or whatever. It's 30 years of Super League, isn't it? And people are reminiscing about the games and so on. And the Wet Bevan Group, they mentioned about the Regal Trophy at Headingley. If you remember, we won that and everybody went on the pitch and they were going, who ran on the pitch? And it was, I thought, oh, here you go. Rob's ahead of his time because it was the first time I ever saw rugby league and wheelchairs at the same sort of, you know, in a game. Because if you remember rightly, Rob, you jumped on top of a wheelchair over the sign. Yes, you did.
No, I jumped onto the pitch at Central Park against Oldham in the Challenge Cup semi-final. We lost to Wigan in the final. We hadn't been to Wembley for God knows how many years. And I jumped onto the pitch at Central Park. I got my foot stuck in a wheelchair. And this bloke in the wheelchair had no legs, and pretty much all he did for a living was go to the gym. He had arms like Sam Bacco, and he punched the living shit out of me, and I couldn't get my foot out of his chair.
Yeah.
Happy days.
First time wheelchair rugby league was introduced, I think.
Talking of trains, did you know that last time Warrington won the championship in 1955, the most prominent type of train still in the UK was steam.
Is that it?
Well, just a bit, you know, to think we haven't won it all that time. To think all that train technology's progressed And the last time we won it was under steam. Is it hot steam, hot air this year, Sam? What are you thinking?
Well, before you get, I'm not sure we've progressed much in the trains because it was only announced this week that this high speed network, they're going to make the trains, but they've got no track to test them on. So they might have to ship them out to China to test them.
Excellent.
It's good, isn't it?
Oh, excellent.
And this
That's
train,
really
how much
efficient.
Will this train cut off the sort of commute from Banqui to London? What are we looking
20
at?
20 minutes.
Can you not just get up early 20 minutes? Would that not save a lot of money if everyone just got up earlier 20 minutes?
It might do, mightn't it?
This is going nowhere. We've got no worries. So we're just
no
talking
worries.
About any
Nothing.
Shit.
I know. It's great, isn't it? It's great.
Yeah.
It's good. Okay, well, let's move on to the review of Castleford. The team was Josh Thewlis went in at fullback to replace the injured Kai Taylor-Ray. Matty Ashton returned after 10 months. Toby King, Alba Hapawati, Josh Smith, George Williams and Ewan Irwin came in for an injured Sneed. Front row was Luke Yates, Danny Walker, Liam Byrne, Sam Stone, Kalepi Tanganoa and Ben Curry in the back three. Interchange bench was James Harrison, Geordie Crowther, Joe Philbin and Lachlan Webster. So, could Warrington conquer again and build on their unbeaten record? Here's the highlights.
Walker looks on the left-hand side. There's a gap that's been left, and he is back. Matty Ashton.
Stay out super late tonight, picking apples, making pie.
It's a chase here. Ashton's after it. Little kick on, and it bounces superbly. And he'll score a second. He's filling his boots.
Fake empire.
Walker quickly, and a short ball, and it's as easy as that for Ben Curry. Lovely hands from Luke Yates.
Tiptoe through our shiny suit.
Weaver kicks it high, Hopawati's underneath it, but so too is Balamai, and he will claim a try.
Bluebirds on our shoulders, we're half away.
Back it comes to Williams. Williams with a little kick towards that goal line again. The ball bounces and Tanganoa cannot believe his luck.
In a fake empire.
Curry. Irwin to Williams. Williams with a no-loop pass and Tanganoa goes bludgeoning through and reaches the score. Here now comes Toby King, and we know that King is a threat, and a potent threat at that. I think that got a touch, it did, and Tanganoa picks it up and scores a hat-trick. So here they come again, and they've got support from Hopawati, and Hopawati, no one's going to touch him. This finishes underneath the sticks.
Listen, I'm trying to figure out.
It's looking down the middle, and that's a lovely step, and here comes another one, surely. Curry this time. Curry, three tries. Warrington at the start of the second half. 7 minutes of the second half play. Castleford have not even touched the ball. Oh, that's a lovely flick, brilliant flick. Williams with an no-look pass, and Tanganoa is in for 8-4. He's covered some distance this time. A full 12 metres to score it. Irwin up to the line, and a lovely little dummy there from Funes, which filled them all. He can take his choice as to who he wants to pass to score. It's Sam Stone to his left. It was 5-1. Williams with a kick over the top. There's an isolation there again. The bounce! Oh, Harrison! James Harrison! Spectacular! They go left here. The winger came a long way out. And it will be a hat-trick on his return for Matty Ashton.
Final score, Warrington 72, Castleford 6. There were three tries for Ashton, two for Curry, four for Tanganoa, Hopewadi, Stone and also Harrison scored. Conversions, Irwin kicked 10 from 12. He also kicked two penalties. Referee was Liam Rush. Attendance, based on the fact that Castleford didn't bring anyone, was a healthy 9,342. Now, I haven't written any notes on this one, boys, because, I mean, I think it can be summed up by saying that Warrington, a lot of good individual performances and of a collective good team performance, complete opposite with Castleford. Some poor individual performances and a really shit show of a team performance. Is that about right?
I think you summed it up. Should we just leave it there?
I think so. Okay, I'm Rob London. It's a goodbye from me. It's a goodbye from Sam.
All the best.
Yeah, it's a goodbye from Dennis.
The senior. Is that it?
You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
I've got list here. We're not ending it there, so you'll have to cut that.
Did you say lisp?
Yes. No, that's not a lisp, is it? I've got a whistle. It's the best. I've got a few points to discuss here. So if you could all settle down.
Excellent.
Excellent. So, yeah, we are going to carry on because I've got a list. Mm. So that's all that gone. Firstly, I'd like you to discuss who got the best try, because it's all positive, this. What was the best try, Mr. London? Did you enjoy that?
I don't remember watching it, if I'm honest. Who got the best? Were there any, like... Oh, I like the Tanganao one where he just used brute force.
Yes.
Thought that was a good one. Thought that was a really good one.
Hopewadi, I think it was... Walker jumping out of dummy half, playing it to Curry, and Curry playing it to Hopewadi. He went more or less two-thirds the length of the field. Mm. I think that was my favourite.
I'm really impressed with Curry this year. I think he's gone back to basics. I think he's really setting a platform around the sticks. Mm. I think he's quite often just taking that courtesy ball in and then playing the ball, and we sort of build from it. I think he's just running a nice straight line. It's nothing brilliant. It's just steadies the ship. Yeah. You know what I mean? He just seems to know what he's doing.
Just write this down. Like courtesy ball. I like that. It's so
I heard that
lovely.
Too.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, wonderful vernacular we have on here. I put Curry down. Well,
I think we've also put sort of Yates in a concierge role. He's also very, concierge. He's like the bellboy. Have you not noticed? He's sort of just moving bags. The bellboy.
Oh, I'm sorry. That said something else. That's really interesting. My favourite try, I thought, was Ashton, because you've not mentioned him. He came back, like you say.
Which and, one of that, the three?
The second try. I mean, the other two were just a waste of time, weren't they? Just running them in. But the second try, it just showed you his appetite to get to that ball. And I know Castleford are a bit slow, but he just followed it right to the end. And brilliant, I thought.
Is the discrepancy between good and bad getting further apart, Sam? I mean, Castleford, I know they didn't have the best of afternoons, but...
They didn't. Castleford didn't have the best afternoons. We said last week it's a game that if we've got anything about us this year, we should win. But looking at Castleford, they had lost matches against Saints, Leeds and Wigan, but none by more than 20 points. So they were showing a bit of competitiveness. What I liked in particular is that other than just the odd 4 or 5 minute spell, we didn't let up all the way through.
No, we didn't.
80 minutes. Mm. We have had a tendency in the past to get a bit of a lead and try and throw wild, fancy passes and it all goes to dog shit, but I liked the way we stayed on it and actually put them to the sword. Once we got going again in that second half, I turned to my Simon and I said, I want 70 plus.
So you were there then, Sam? We've not clarified. You were there.
Of course I was.
Didn't have that attitude last year, but yeah, of course he was this year. Bit like what Sam Burgess would be like with, Steve McNamara, isn't it? As we win in, he's there. Oh, yeah. I was there.
Talking of dog shit and Castleford played in white, you don't see white dog shit anymore, do you? What, was it something in the diet of dogs in the 70s that made the
I think you brought this up when we last had a good start to a season.
Oh, no. Put the knockers on it now.
Oh, goodness me. Okay, so go on, Sam. You've got something else to
add. No, carry on. I would like to sum up our start to season after we finish the game.
We'll get there because I've got points here. Irwin. What do we think of Irwin? Because that was a bit of a risk and a gamble before the match. You know, not dropping Sneed, but he had shit defence last week. But putting him in there, getting him tested, you know, that transition from the academy to where we are. What did you think? Did you think he was a?
I really like the look of him. I know Rob's got an opinion that it's a bit early yet, but I like the look of him. Mm. I don't think it was a risk given the opposition. If you're playing Wigan or Leeds or if Saints away and you throw him in, that's a risk. But if you're playing a team towards the bottom of the table at home, I think it's a game that we should be doing that with one or two players, not a raft of players, but one or two players. I think it's the only way they're going to learn by playing.
Come on,
what do
Rob.
You think, Rob?
I can't get past his haircut. And I was looking at it and thinking, where have I seen that before? You know what it is?
Hairspray.
It's the first series of Blackadder. Who goes into a hairdresser and says, can you just cut my hair and like shave an inch off around my ear? Like leave nothing.
Yeah, this is from the man who shaved his eyebrow off by accident.
It's almost grown back, actually, now, isn't it? It's almost.
Yeah. He is airy, though, isn't he? Well, I thought he was. I thought he really offered a like really fast and assertive sort of passing and kicking.
He looks keen, doesn't he? He's as keen as mustard. What kind of mustard would he be if he was a mustard and Sneed was a mustard? What's the hot one? Is that what's the hot one?
English mustard is the hot one. And Dijon would be a bit softer.
So Sneed's more of a Dijon, a bit gritty. Past his best.
That's a whole grain mustard, that one.
Oh, okay.
Exceptional. Right.
So just before, apologies, Dennis. So before we go any further.
Is this more mustard talk?
Could we do a few condiments before we conclude? Would that be what condiment would Joe? I feel Joe Philbin would be a ketchup, but it wouldn't be Heinz. You know, occasionally when you go,
Heinz is shit. Heinz is anymore.
The best. Oh, that's because you live down south and you've got all those bespoke bloody southern ketchups with relish put in, haven't you? That's why.
Yes,
I've been having a chili ketchup recently from is it Tiptree?
Thank you,
Ben. I've been having a chili. Little bit of spice in it. Very nice.
Nice.
So just before we go on,
I'm only doing a few minute, more.
No. Before you go on to condiments, Leon Hayes is now behind Irwin. Are we saying that?
Leon Hayes, Is he a wasabi?
I thought he said Liam Mayonnaise, but carry on.
Write that one down, Dennis. Leon Mayonnaise.
This is a section for next week. Has Sam made his point yet? Can we just let make his point?
Sorry.
What was it point? It's not the summing up point.
Is Leon Hayes now behind in the pecking order?
Yes, he's miles behind.
By miles. I agree. I just think it's going that way, isn't it?
Right. Okay. My next point. Why didn't I get a quad bet for Tanganoa? Because he was clearly the man of the match. He was my man of the match.
He was man of the match. He scored four tries because you didn't put your bet on Tanganoa scoring four tries. Had you done that, you'd have probably got about 2,500 to 1.
Okay. But as a man of the match, he basically just He was scared to death. The defence of Castleford was scared to death when he was getting the ball anywhere within 5 metres of the line. They just couldn't deal with him, could they? He was my man of the match. He didn't get man of the match, though, because obviously Matty Ashton did. Behind those two obvious ones, did you point out anyone else? You mentioned Curry, but was there any other standout performances, do you think?
I thought they were all great. I think they're all playing really well individually, as I said before, and I think collectively as a team. I wonder where this newfound composure's come from. Has it come from Sidekick Steve? I noticed Sidekick Steve has now moved into the central part of the twat cabin. Have you noticed that? Like he's no longer on the edge. He's got Burgess to one side and he's got the stats guy to the other side. And they're both, he's very much, I thought, for the first time, he'd taken control of the ship.
Ah, I see. Yeah. Yeah. Sam, what do you think? Anyone on your mind?
Walker. Oh. I think for the first four games, he's not necessarily been the best player on the pitch every game, but he's been in the top three. Week in, week out, I think so much comes off.
Well, it's time for the What Bevan Player of the Month, boys, because this is the last recording of March. Yeah. So did we give it to Walker the first month, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, I did, but I don't know if you two agreed.
I think we gave it to Walker. Okay. Votes for this month, then. I'd love to give it to Walker again, but I'm going to vote Stone.
Yes, okay, yeah. Go on, we'll go with that.
Yeah. That was easy, wasn't it? Pass these things. I've got one more point to make. Is our offensive effort and scoring now fixed from last year, or have we just played underperforming teams who are shit?
No, I think a little bit of both. I haven't got my correct Google computer to hand, I had done a bit of work on this.
So as a condiment, are you saying it's salt and vinegar because it's a bit of both? Is that what you...
It's a bit of both. There? It's a bit of... Yeah, very good. Very good. I don't think we've quite fixed our defence yet. However, in our general play, we are making very few errors and giving away very few penalties. And whilst that doesn't have a direct impact on the attack, it means we're staying fresher and the opposition are getting more tired when they're making errors. For example,
you can take out the more there, Sam. It's just tired.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. They're getting tired.
Jesus, he's listening.
Our errors average five per game, and our penalties five per game. Whereas Wigan are averaging 10 errors a game, Leeds 10 errors a game. We are by far and away making the fewest errors in Super League across the first four or five matches.
Wow.
Interesting.
It's all very positive, this, isn't it?
It is.
Should we go back to that forward pass? No. Okay.
No. You tell us. Is it been fixed then, Rob, in this offensive thing, or are we just playing shit?
I think
teams?
It's What's just slightly too early to say. I think we've got, as Sam said at the start of the season, we had a beautiful run of fixtures and we're slowly coming to the end of those, right? So we'll see how we go. We were definitely not erratic. I mean, look at some of the other teams in the league. I mean, look at Leeds, and we'll come on to them in the predictions. But apart from Wigan, no one else is showing consistent form like we are. Looking at the stats for the game, Smith carried the ball the most on 19, Williams on 18, Curry 17. It's a really even keel across virtually the entire team. Meters, Hopewati was the top meter gain in 160 meters. Ashton 151. Curry 142. Looking down through the forwards, Philbin was the best forward at 141. Byrne a solid 98. Yates 84.
I think we should just mention Philbin. I think from memory, it was his 250th game. It's either his 200th or 250th
game. Yeah, 250 it was, yeah.
And as much as we give him a hard time on here, we're giving him a hard time because I think we hoped he would become an outstanding player, whereas really he's a good team, good squad player. But anyone who manages 250 appearances.
Yeah. Hang on, let me just check that. It's not 250, it's 350. Oh, no, sorry, that's how many times he's dropped the ball.
but he's top of the chart, and that's the first time in a long time he's ever been up there for a few years. So yeah, I agree. I think
he's a cheerful character. He's sort of a guacamole, isn't he, or a salsa? I think he's something you want to dip your tortilla in.
That's a not splash a of sunshine.
Yeah.
Not a euphemism.
Possession, why a 61%? I'm still going on about the stats. Do I need to continue this? I mean, the stats are so one-sided, it's ridiculous. Yeah, meters, nothing. Why a 1648, Tigers 660? I mean, my goodness. I mean, what's the point in turning
that up? Was by 250 meters more than we've achieved this season,
yeah,
in any other game.
All right. Let's have a listen to Sam Burgess. Not flirting with Jenna Brooks, but this time with Dave Woods.
Wow, what a day. I mean, so many reasons to be pleased there. That completion rate, the hat-trick for Matty Ashton, the way you went about things. What's the biggest positive for you today?
I was happy with the way we stayed at it for the whole game. I thought it was a really disciplined performance. I thought, you know, probably most impressed with our physicality early. I think we had to get that done and get that right in the first 20 minutes, and we probably might have too much for them, and it was the case. We stuck to the plan for the full game, which was nice.
A lot of youngsters taking the headlines at the moment. Obviously, Kai Taylor-Ray's injured, but you brought the young fella in, Ewan Irwin, last week. You've kept faith with him today, and he's repaid that faith, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's a very intelligent player. He's a really composed for a young man, and he's only going to get better the more times we expose him at this level. You know, just getting that balance right of not being too much. But, you know, he can handle it. Just, you know, we've got to manage him through the year and, you know, see what we've got there.
Were you surprised by your opponent's performance today?
I'm not really want to comment on anything like that. I think we put them under a bit of pressure. I thought our game was very tidy. And they've got a few injuries at the moment as well. I think today was a tough day for Castleford. The ball sort of bounced our way. We had a couple of calls that went our way early in the game as well. So I think the momentum went for us. And then in tough conditions, we made them pay. So it was a tough day, I'd say, for them.
And Sam, big game to come, of course, next week, Leeds. There's a real test, isn't it? I mean, great start to the season, but that's going to be a real pedigree test, isn't it? And the 30th anniversary, I think you'd have been about 7 years old when that game was first played in Super League.
Settle down.
3 decades ago. But I mean,
I think I might have been one years old, just for Kelly. Right. Yeah.
But how much are you looking forward to that challenge that is offered to your side next week?
Yeah, no, listen, we'll enjoy today. We've got something with our families now. We'll enjoy that. We'll have a day or two off, and then we'll get ready for Leeds next week. We're really looking forward to it. They've been in some great form. They're a wonderful side and very well coached. So that's going to be a great test for us to see where we're at. You know, no doubt we're looking forward to that.
Brilliant. Thanks, Sam. Appreciate your time as ever. Thank you very much indeed. Well done today.
Good luck. Thanks, guys. I'm 31, by the way, if you don't know.
31. Well, I reckon you're 36. You're 36.
Right. I mean, yeah, there it is. Chuckle, chuckle. 31.
I mean, it depends who you think who has managed this, but there's a couple of good managing things that Warrington have done in the last couple of weeks. One, Matty Ashton, not letting him come back sooner than he should. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I think that's paid off. Mm-hmm. And two, the Irwin bit, you know, throwing him in there, as Sam said, at the right time and not, you know, sort of exposing ourselves against big games away and stuff like that. So, yeah, do you think that this is all down to Sam Burgess, or is this now definitely the sidekick Steve effect that's
kicking
in?
I think this is the sidekick Steve effect. What's that as an acronym? SKSE. Doesn't really work, does it?
No. What do you think, Sam? You got anything to say on that?
Yeah, well, we're hoping they're dovetailing together, aren't we? We're hoping that Burgess is bringing the big Churchillian type speeches, whereas sidekick Steve is doing
generation doesn't know about.
He's old enough.
Yeah.
Mm. Whereas sidekick Steve is doing the detail in the background.
I see. Yeah.
Dovetailing. Yeah. I don't think I've not heard anyone say dovetail since Arthur Negus on the Antique Roadshow in about 1982.
You say that, but you have already mentioned courtesy ball and concierge line or something. So I don't think that's quite true. Have you met Steve McNamara around Lim Dam? Do we know if he's moved over there,
Been through
Sam?
his bins yet, Steve? Not
No,
Steve.
Steve.
Have you? You've been through his bins, Sam.
Has Sam been through Steve's bins? Is that what you're saying? No, I
Well,
have not. I have not come across Steve yet.
I think, where's he going to shop? Because he's been down in France for a long time, hasn't he? So
Oh, yeah.
that would be quite a shock to him to come back to a British
Oh,
supermarket after all that
it's
soft
got to be
cheese.
Altrincham. It's got to be the artisan market at Altrincham, surely.
I think I heard a podcast though where Sam Tompkins was saying that he shops at Lidl's and he just comes back with the beans and he just like, oh, spaghetti oops or something like that. That's his thing. So.
I heard Tony Smith used to shop at Marks and Spencer's, but you only shop at Marks and Spencer's for your bits, don't you? No one does a full shop at Marks and Spencer's. No. But they probably do at the Harlequins. I expect the Harlequin rugby league team, rugby union team, they probably all shop in Marks.
They?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I quite like Booths. Booths is my
Oh,
favourite in
Booths
the
is
UK.
good. Booths
Isn't
is
Booths
nice.
lovely? It's
Oh, you
lovely.
can't get Booths down here, which is unfortunate. It's almost like an
No, Booths is
oxymoron.
my, yeah. I like Booths. Super League round five results. Wigan 23, York 22. I didn't see it. I presume that was a drop goal, right? To win it at the end, was it, Sam?
It was. I watched the second half there, and actually, they were in position to potentially win it, York, with a couple of
Really?
minutes to go, and made a cock up of it.
Right, okay.
Can you score an odd number without getting a drop goal? Because I mean, presuming it's a drop goal was probably not the right word.
He's really onto it. He's so
I
sharp
don't know what's up
tonight.
with me.
I mean, the last few weeks he's hardly spoke. Tonight he's like practically leading the pod. He went through the whole game, came
Oh
up with all
dear.
these
It'll all
questions.
change. It'll all change when we lose three in a, we would lose three in a row.
It's exciting because he's off to Amsterdam. That's what it is. That's what it is. Toulouse 16, St Helens 30, Bradford 26, Huddersfield 14, Wakefield 18, Lee 14. I think it was Bradford, Huddersfield, Wakefield, Lee that were on at the same time, and I split my screen.
No.
Oh,
How
God.
did that go?
How depressing was that? Oh, my
Three lots of
God.
depression.
Three
Yes.
espressos later, I still haven't kicked in. Catalans 26, Hull KR 20, and all 24, Leeds 16.
Mixed bag, innit, of around
I
that.
was going to say, we are the only ones really who at the moment have not looked in any trouble, right? Have we looked in trouble in any game so far this season? Have we been behind in
We had
any
a
game?
wobble. We had a
Wibble
wobble
wobble.
against York.
Oh, we
We
did,
had a
yeah.
wobble
Yeah.
against York, didn't we?
Yeah, that's right.
York are still doing well, aren't they? I mean, Wigan, it surprised Wigan that did, because I think Wigan got
Yeah.
off to a start and they just didn't go away. So,
Never do the
yeah.
Vikings. Are they Vikings or Knights in York? No, they're not Vikings, aren't
The
they?
Knights. Yeah,
Why are
no,
they
but they've
called the
called them Knights. I
Knights?
know.
That's
I was thinking this the other
pathetic.
week. I know.
It should be
Is
the
it because of.
York Vikings.
It's
Why are
got
they
to
called the
be because of
Knights?
Widnes, surely. It's got to
Yeah,
be to
but
do with
why are
Widnes.
Widnes called the Vikings? They should be called the fuckheads or something, shouldn't
Oh, I knew
they?
something like that was going to come out.
The
You're
scum, the Widnes scum or
the
something,
Widnes
or
inbreds.
Widnes
Oh,
in
listen to
bit
this.
too
I
bitter
want no
forty.
party to this, just in case I have to go to Widnes for anything. Watch it out.
Yeah, well, there you go. So we've only been behind in one game, right? We're behind against York briefly. How many
Yes.
minutes have we been behind this year, Sam? Have you got the stats on that?
Eight.
Right, see,
Oh,
say it
excellent.
positively, say it with confidence. We all believe
No
it.
one will check. Donald Trump's been doing that for 70 odd years.
Before that, John Craven's news round.
Nigel Wood is back at the top of rugby league, appointed as the new chairman of the RFL after a council vote. He previously
How did he get to
served
the
as chief executive from 2011 to 2018 and only returned to the board last year. On confirmation of the news, the manufacturer of pizza twists, Iceland Foods, saw their share price rise on the FTSE 228%.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, the irony of it, though, what you've just said, is that remember the other guy who's in charge? What's his name? Super League and RFL.
Elstone. Robert Elstone. Yeah.
He was the one who brought in the sponsorship of the pizzas, remember, for the end of the game.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Nigel, they wouldn't give it the same deal to Nigel.
Was that the best deal they could get? Wasn't the other deal that they got the names written on all the Eddie Hobart?
Eddie Stobart.
Yeah. Yeah,
another classic deal.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an absolute shit show, isn't it? It really is.
Picture the scene. You are seated watching the game on a cold, unforgiving Halliwell Jones night. The match is tight, but your ass doesn't seem to be. The tension is unbearable, unlike your sphincter. You shift slightly, a minor adjustment. No one notices. And then, it begins. A subtle itch. Nothing serious. Manageable. But your shitty plastic chair offers no mercy. The itch grows. Then Warrington score and the crowd erupts. The floodlights go out. And in that exact moment you go for a cheeky scratch. Yes. Are you suffering from anal itching? If you are, help is at hand. Certain dietary choices can ease the situation. Less spice, less pizza twists, will lead to less irritation. Perhaps give your system a break from whatever clusterfuck of a diet you've been feeding it. Eat more fiber, from a variety of plant foods, and drink water, and your asshole will feel as zen as the Dalai Lama. And if that fails, a simple soothing cream can do wonders. Yes. You may have to approach a pharmacist, but they will know exactly what you need. For more help, go to gutscharity.org.uk. This has been another Hal's Wellbeing public announcement.
Oh dear. Got any other news?
Yes, I've got some good news. Super League will make history this weekend as Tara Jones becomes the first woman to referee a men's top flight match. Jones, a former St. Helens player, only moved into full-time officiating last year, but has quickly risen through the ranks after refereeing in the Championship. Her appointment caps a huge week, with Jones also receiving an MBE for her services to rugby league. Good honour. Is she any good? Is she any good?
Not witness to referee live, I'm afraid.
She did, didn't she do one of our games? Pre-season.
Yeah, I brought this up. I said, is that the first time a woman's refereed a men's game? And you went, oh, no, it's all been done before. And she did us the other week.
What about refereeing?
Oh, God. I thought I should have rephrased that, shouldn't I? Anyway, but
interesting. There's not enough data yet to come up with any real conclusion.
There's been some statistics on women referees.
Well, there's been some studies in rugby union. There's a particularly good female referee in rugby union, Holly Davidson.
I've seen her referee. No, she's probably at Waitrose. Probably does. Yeah.
But she's John excellent. Lewis? And there have been.
At John Lewis for condoms.
Anyway, Holly Davidson is very good. We'll move on from there.
Who? Who was the last one?
Holly Davidson is very good. She's refereeing at international rugby union. And there's a feeling that she's taking the heat out of situations with a very calm demeanour amongst the big lads. But there's not enough of a scientific study yet to see whether it's how men
still going on still
men react
no, you know what I'm laughing at is that we're in a really dodgy situation. We've got nothing to go on because everything's going well. We've got nothing to moan at, and now we're talking about like this latest news, and it's really not good territory for us. Sam's making a good fist of trying to get us out of it.
Why is he making a fist?
I don't know.
Did I send you the other sports and when the female referees were appointed?
No,
oh, okay.
You didn't.
All right. So 2023 Premier League football. Rebecca Walsh refereed Premier League game. Fulham versus Burnley. So they've beaten us by 3 years. First class cricket. What year do you think a first class cricket game was umpired? It was Gloucestershire versus Surrey. What year do you think it was? First class cricket game.
I would have thought cricket would have been latest of all, because you know of like the historical. Yeah.
I'm going to say in the war, 1944.
Fuck's sake.
Because everyone else was off at the front.
No.
I thought it was a trick question because the cricket haven't heard.
No. So did I.
It was 16 years ago in 2012. Okay. Now, I thought this woman was a Radio 1 DJ, but Sarah Cox refereed Harlequins versus Worcester in Premiership Rugby Union. What year do you think that was?
2015.
2012. 2021. So 5 years they've beaten us by. 2019, NRL, Belinda Sharp refereed Brisbane versus the Bulldogs. World snooker at the Crucible. Michaela Tabb, she refereed a series of matches. What year was that?
This is for Dennis, this one. This is for Dennis.
Isn't she the one that always knocks the balls on the table?
Like No. 2009. And there's a few of them now.
It was 2009. How does he know that? He's just looked that up.
He looked like he's used his phone
there. You can see him looking down. But the winner had a umpire in 1996. Do you know what sport it was?
Tennis.
It was. Alison Lang umpired a men's single match at Wimbledon in 1996. So we've been a bit slow on this one, boys. We've been outdone by virtually all the sports have had female refs or umpires.
You missed one out there. Boxing.
I couldn't find boxing properly because a woman hasn't apparently refereed a heavyweight men's boxing match yet, world title,
not
because
a
they see it
no.
they see it as unsafe because you need somebody there who can pull them apart.
Yeah, Mandy Brown from Wales in 2025, but it was like you say, a lower weight.
Yes, there's a lot of that been going on for a long time. But there you go. All right.
I mean, this section is almost like what other things can women do, isn't it? This section. I mean. It's like, of course they can referee. Why are we even... Are we cutting this bit?
No, I don't. What I said to you at this. And I've always said this, and I don't give a shit about gender. I just want to know what... This is why I don't like the BBC commentator.
I'm going to say. I listened to... I did actually put on BBC commentary this week for the Warrington game, but I did switch to Dave Woods in the end because I didn't like the commentary team. Is that all right?
Who was it? Who was on this week?
It was Sharon Shortle, I think, this week.
They've been calling her on the What Bevan group, Sharon Shoutle or something. Something like that.
Right.
Got some, it's not as good as Leon Mayonnaise, but it's, you know. Mm.
Well, it's 1-1 now anyway for Newsom and Woods in terms of...
Oh, all right. Excellent. 1-1.
Oh, yes. So we're keeping a tally. All right.
Yes, I am.
Super League table. I've cut and pasted it in, boys, for the first time this year. Maybe a little bit premature. I never look at the Super League table until after the Henley Regatta. But nevertheless, we find Huddersfield at the bottom on 0 points. I think Dennis is going to bring them up in tackle gag, so we'll leave that for him. Castleford on 2 points, Lee on two, Hulkingston Rovers on two. They still have a game in hand, though. York Knights on four, Toulouse four, Hull four, and then Dragons, Wakefield Trinity, Bradford and Leeds Rhinos all on six. St. Helens on eight. We too are on eight with a better goal difference and a game in hand. And Wigan are out on top. Played five, won five. They have the best points difference on 10 points.
Mm-mm.
I mirrored it into our prediction tables that we all came up with at the start of the season to see if anyone had any... Remember that game Mastermind that you take to school with the pet? Had a very sexy sort of oriental lady on the box with like some bloke who was about 30 years. I don't think he wasn't on the front,
was
he?
I think you're right. It was a model.
and you do the pegs and you go, how many have you got right in the right places? And I think black meant you had it in the right place. White meant you've got the right colour, but not in the right place. I should find that. It's a really good game, isn't it? It's nearly as good as How's That? You know, the cricket game where you roll the little...
Oh, yes, yeah. Many hours of fun there.
Yeah, hey? It's another good... I'll get this. Anyway, we've currently got no black pegs. No one has got a position right yet. The table is completely askew compared to what we thought, so...
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I mean, the surprises are that all the teams that have come into the league this year have done really well and picked up points in such a short time. So
they've picked up 14 points between them, which is pretty good. Whereas if you look at Castleford, Huddersfield and Lee, they've picked up just 4 points between them. Sam, no real surprises yet. I mean, too early. We're not anywhere near the Henley Regatta, so I presume you won't be looking at the table at the moment. But
no, we did touch on this last week. The big period really for us is coming up. I think it's June and July. We'll find out what we're made of then, because I think we play something like Wigan, Hull KR, Saints, Leeds, Catalans away, and Lee away, all in consecutive weeks. But you can only win the matches that are in front of you, and so far, very positive and getting steadily better each week.
Which stat is better?
You say you can only win the matches in front of you, but didn't the African Nations Soccer just change the result last week, which was a match behind them?
They did. Oh, very good. Very good. Which stats, Dennis?
Dodgy ref.
Meters. Okay, meters. Against Saints, we made 1,168. The following week, 1,300. The following week, 1,400.
What's
this? This week, 1,600.
What are these
numbers? Our meters gained. Yeah, Mises game. He's just saying how we're getting it. Yeah.
Progressing down.
And he's already given us a stat that we're not making as many or giving away penalties, which is good. Errors as well.
Are your two contracts up for renewal or something? Is that why you're
putting... Shut up. Just keep going,
like, what's his name? Azatazi. What was his name? The one that he only played week before his contract.
Oh, he's played quite
well
the last 3 or 4 weeks.
It's the end of the fiscal year, isn't it? So, yeah, go on, Sam. Keep going.
Low sample, but average gains per carry. We lead the league in average meters made per carry, and leading the league overall, Kai Taylor-Ray, who obviously wasn't playing at the weekend, but could actually have improved his stats there. Ashton, 10 meters a carry. Walker, 9 meters a carry. And Sipley,
stay in here. You'll run off with it.
For the benefit of the listener, Mrs. London is about to escape for her romantic lunch.
Yes, please.
He's worried, isn't he? But in general,
I can see that.
All them stats are absolutely looking like they're going the right way. So I think we could take a few weeks off after this, Rob, I think.
Absolutely. Okay, it's time for Daniel as he continues his countdown from 30-1, who he believes are Warrington's best players to have worn the primrose and blue during the summer rugby Super League era. Of course, last week we criticised his selection and put them in a new order. But nevertheless, it's hats off to Daniel as he's crystal clear on his opinion.
In 24th then is current Wyre star Matty Ashton. He was signed from Swinton for the 2020 season as a relative youngster and actually played as a fullback in his early days at the club. It wasn't until the arrival of Darrell Powell that he was moved to the wing ahead of the 2022 campaign. He scored 13 tries in that relegation scrap of a year before exploding in 2023, crossing 20 times and then 32 the year after, earning him a spot in the dream team. Injury cut short his 2025 season, but Ashton's searing pace and brilliant finishing ability mean he has been one of the most exciting parts of Wyre's team in recent years. Anyway, Just above him in 23rd is fellow try-scoring winger Chris Riley. Identifiable by his bright ginger hair, the wide man made his debut in 2005, but it wasn't until 2008 that he became a main figure in the team. 14 tries that year and 10 the year after were followed by an incredible 2010, which saw him cross the whitewash 29 times. After a bizarre spell on loan at Harlequins, Riley returned in 2012 with another 29 tries, including one in the Challenge Cup final victory against Leeds. Ashton will probably go on to eclipse Riley's stats, but the latter made an impressive 182 appearances and scored 120 times, so ranks just above him for now. And position 22 goes to one of the podcast interviewees from the early days, John Clark. 11 years at the club after signing from London in 2001, ended up yielding 263 Wire appearances that spanned across two different home stadiums. As a player and a hooker, Clark could be summed up by his physicality, spirit and competitiveness. A stat that perhaps tells you most about him is that in 2004, he was Super League's best tackler with a success rate of 99%. Being in 22nd is very, very good, but he is not even the highest hooker with the surname of Clark on this list. Tune in soon for part 4.
Twenty-four, Matty Ashton. 23, Chris Riley. 22, John Clark.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember any modern day play. Like, I just can't. I've got no. When he puts them in every week. I should say Daniel's soundbite was twice as long. I had to edit out the first 90 seconds of him giving a caveat as to why he put Paul Scunthorpe where he did. He placed Paul Scunthorpe, I think, at 26. The reason being was he didn't think he played that many games for Warrington and therefore didn't see.
Oh, that's fair enough. Yeah. And you know what? I thought that when we were thinking, talking about it last week, I thought, you know, his best games may have been with Saints and stuff, you know, at the peak of his sort of like, you know, career. But in this week, I'm looking at Matty Ashton in 24th and thinking, you know, he's not even finished his career yet. And, you know, would that change over the year or maybe in the next couple of years that, you know, he might find himself moving up that chair?
If I was putting my starting 13 out there, I'm as much as, you know, Chris Riley, and he came on the podcast, didn't he, when we could be asked interviewing the players. I still put Matty Ashton on the wing before Chris Riley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But like I say, depending on, like, you know, looking across a career, it's easier to look at these players in that respect, isn't it? What about John Clark?
Because we had him on the podcast. We had John Clark on the podcast as well, didn't we?
Yeah. Goodness me. That's when
we were the days, weren't we? That's when we were still in contact with the club. You know what it was like? We still had open line with Carl Fitzpatrick, and it's a bit like Trump in Iran. Like, you know, all we need a mediator to go in. And try and who could we get that could Richard Shaw right at 40-20? Could we get him in the middle so we could go through Richard?
He'd be up for it.
He's so lovely. Yes. He'd be great at it. Yeah. He'd know how to do it.
John Clark, though, I didn't think he was such a great, massive influence and player, but he was a solid nine.
He was in a really bum team, wasn't he? It really was the dark
for a while.
It really was
for a while.
But it wasn't like, you know, set the world on fire, was he? Oh, have I disappeared?
No, but I've got a lot of time for players like John Clark.
Can I just stop for a second? Dennis seemed to go into the future then.
Did you know? Something really strange happened then. But anyway.
You were like Mike Yarwood. Your lips weren't moving. And he was shit, wasn't he, Mike Yarwood? He had all he could do was Eddie Waring. Was it Jim Callaghan or someone? He did like a politician. And they were all exactly the same. Pipe. They were all...
Yeah.
Edward Heath. They're all exactly the same. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
No. I've got so much... Players like John Clark, who you feel you're getting 100% out of them week in, week out. Got an awful lot of time for him and the type of player he was.
Yeah, lovely bloke. Came on a pod. It's great, wasn't it? Really enjoyed John. Mm. And Chris Riley. Well, they were both fantastic when they came on.
Which player would you get on now, Rob? Which one you'd like to talk to?
Do you know, there's only one I want. I'd only do it for one, and that's Les Boyd. I'd do it for Les, and that's it. Is that a song? I'll do it for Les. I'm not sure if it is. Should be.
I'll do anything for Les, but I won't do that.
I would do that for Les, if I'm honest.
God, it's terrible.
I could see Les Boyd having a micro penis. I don't know what it is about him, but there's something just...
You've lost the opportunity. Oh, Christ. What sort of questions are you going to ask, Rob? Have you got micro penis?
Do you really think it's wise to promise the good people of Warrington an erection, a resurrection this Easter? I mean, the last thing you raised from the dead was our attacking structure, and that lasted less time than a chocolate egg in Danny Walker's glove compartment.
Oh, don't be so cynical, Ralpho. Miracles can happen at this time of year.
Usually involving divine intervention. Not another ting tock from your sidekick, Steve. What exactly is your any old iron master plan, Samuel?
We retreat for 40 days and 40 nights, and then we return reborn.
Oh, Sammy, last year's scrap heap of a season, you retreated for 6 rounds and you came back exactly the same. Besides, who's playing the role of Junkman Judas?
Toby King.
Oh yes, that's right. He fucked off to Wigan to eat humble pie. I suppose next summer you'll be feeding the 5,000.
That's the new catering initiative, Ralpho. I'll divide one pizza twist for everyone in the West Stand.
Oh, tackle sacks, you dirty old man. And who on earth has rolled away the Easter stone this time?
Professor Broomhead, Ralpho. He thought it was the door to hospitality.
Oh, rag and bone, my arse. He's drunk all the communion wine. Oh, there'll be none left to toast our Easter victory.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Oh, by the way, when exactly are you handing out the Easter egg, Samuel?
On Sunday, Ralpho. We're going to have a massive hunt.
Oh, well, that's no way to talk about James Bentley.
I said hunt, Ralpho.
Oh, my apologies. My ears still haven't repressurised since last year's trip to Vegas.
Talking of which, Ralphie, after me standing on a podium getting worshipped in Vegas, I better go and knock up a cross.
Oh, the only cross I've seen around here is dangling from Pitsy's ear. And let's face it, it would be a miracle if we won anything under the bullshit religion he preaches.
I know, Ralpho. We're Pitsy now reading a psalm of mediocrity from the New Testament. We're on course for another crucifixion.
Oh, anyway, What a good idea. Pass me the hammer and those nails, Samuel. Now, Pitsy. Keep still, Mr. Pitsy. Hold still.
I did wonder where this was going. I thought this was on a very fine line between the Passion of Christ,
yes,
Jesus Christ Superstar,
Judas,
and was being on a watch list for all fundamental Christians everywhere.
I thought the music was very soothing this week. I really liked it.
I think you just about got away with that, didn't you?
Yeah. Did you listen to it while you're having a shit, Sam? Is that...
Not this week, no.
Oh, okay.
But I do sometimes, so I...
Yeah. No, I was just, you know, it's funny. I was thinking to myself at 8 o'clock. I was waiting for the podcast to start, and we get the link through, and we're all starting. Mm. But we have this thing on the podcast called post shit contact meters, and I think what it is that we get to the point where you're podding from, and then you two have to run off for a shit, and then we start 5 minutes later.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Little Dan.
Had a row with the wife today. She's telling me, there's me and her and her mother, and she's complaining about I'd never get anything. I said, what do you mean? I said, I bought you one of them brand new £82 self-cleaning ovens. She said, it's not self-cleaning. I said, well, who cleans it then? She says, myself. I said, there, what I tell you.
Yes, it's that time again where we take a look at the lighter side of rugby league, highlighting the laughable events of the week. And this week we look at the Joker of Change at Huddersfield. This week's Rob's favourite Yorkshire side, Huddersfield, parted company with their coach, Luke Robinson, after 5 games, breaking the Watt Bevan trial period continuum of 10 games. Let's first hear off the director of change, Ralph Rimmer.
It's really important that we get the message out there that this club is going forward. We now have a vision. We now have a mission. We now have values. We know who we are. We know where we want to be and how we're going to achieve it. By 2030, this club will be in a new stadium. It will be a successful club. It will have developed a much larger following. We are doing all those bricks of success are now in place. We are building world-class training facilities such as the one that currently sits behind me, which will be ready in a couple of months' time. So everything is geared for success, but now we need it on the field of play. Giants Unleashed has to mean something, and that's why the incumbent coach that we're looking for will be inspirational. He will be a leader. He will be someone who wants to buy in to everything that we're trying to do here and wants to be a part of that journey right through to 2030. Somebody that's going to put his shoulders to the wheel and help us get there alongside us and be proud of what we're doing and be proud of this badge. Lots of people care about this club. We need the next person in to care about as much as we do.
Well, I've got a couple of questions. Rob, would you have done a second take in that video, or was it on point with the demise of Huddersfield?
Well, at least they had a mic on him, which is a start. Unfortunately, he got a little bit passionate towards the end, and he banged his microphone on his chest, so that wasn't very good. Yeah. I'm not sure what the horns were doing in the background.
And no, I'm not.
If you watch it visually, there's some kind of like asbestos cladding going on above his head as well.
Yes, he's dropping out of insulation, dropping out of the roof.
That was a world-class facility that they were building, apparently.
Yeah.
Why would you take the video there? Why would you take it under a load of cladding that's falling down from the beams? Why would you take it when there's obviously some kids in the background on BMXs horning away and banging his microphone at the end when he's trying to get his final point across? Would you not go, you know what, Ralph? I think we need to have another go at this.
Yes, let's do it again. Let's do it again. Sam, the other thing I want to talk about is five games the new 10 games in the coaching world? I mean, what's your thoughts on that? And I've got a quiz to follow up on in a minute.
Ooh. Are you thinking a bit like the TikTok generation, how people can't watch and process things for long enough and they have to have it done and over?
It is. It's a bit soon, though, isn't it? Like I say, we've always maintained 10 games, but five games.
But he's been there before, right? It's not the first time.
Yeah, he was there last year. They had a very mediocre season last year.
You're not going to comment, are you? You know, they've more or less...
Get rid of them.
No, listen, they've more or less had, in the last 20 years, 20 coaches. Like one coach a year, sort of, on average.
It is so, when it comes on, if there ever is a game on the TV from Huddersfield, do they forget to open the turnstiles or something? Are they all locked? Why is it still locked down at Huddersfield? What's the point? Well, do you know, someone mentioned to me this week, we all go on about Huddersfield being the birthplace of rugby league, right? And it was just convenient to meet at that pub.
Yeah.
It was just halfway for everyone. That. Nothing to do with the fact that it was predominantly played. They're a football town. They've always been a football town. They seem to be able to just hang on because they've got this tradition. I mean, the hotel's gone, hasn't it, now? Or didn't they shut it down or something? Something happened to it.
Yes.
Get rid of them. Get rid of them.
Right. I don't want to set him off again. It's like fucking triggering me. Right. So in reverse order, I'm going to give you some other coaches that have seen a demise early on in the season. I'm going to start at number six because I could only find six. So I want you to guess the coach. This is called first one coming in. If you're wrong, it goes to the other person. So 2019, Leeds sacked their coach after 14 games, after a 4 wins and 10 losses. Anybody know who the coach was for Leeds?
What year was it, Sagan?
2019.
Also quite not Derek Fox then. I was there the day they sacked him. Gregory had a belt in.
Super lead era.
Did you know that Sam and I, talking to coaches, we went to school on a Barry Cooper?
We did, yes.
Didn't go on buses. Our school was that posh. We went on Barry Coopers. We didn't go on buses.
Are you playing the quiz?
Sorry. 2019.
You both don't know, do you?
No, I do. I do. 2019 was... Well, not Barry McDermott. Was he an Aussie? And he came and went very quickly. He didn't like what he saw, did he? So he left. He got really annoyed and fell out with him.
That's right.
I think he was an international as well. Give us his initials.
DF.
David Ferner.
Correct. Okay. So that was that. In fifth place, this was after a 10-game start for St. Helens, 2017. They basically won 4 and lost 10. 14 games. Sorry. 10 games, 50%.
Was it the hooker that they've got a statue of?
Yes, that's right.
Cunningham.
Correct.
Yep.
Yes.
Very well, Rob. Very good.
Yeah. In fourth place, this is the current one. I haven't even thrown Luke Robinson in there. Was Wigan 2006, 8 games, 1 win, 7 losses.
It's not
hard,
John.
Isn't it, this quiz?
Not John Doherty. He was there for a bit longer, wasn't he?
No, he lived in the same cul-de-sac as I did when I was living in Leigh.
Mike Gregory? No.
No. Wigan 2006. No, you don't remember, do you?
Hang on. Yeah, I do. Was it Lamb and he went off to Leigh?
No. Give us the initials. IM.
I-N.
Ian Millward.
Ian Millward, yes.
Where's eight he these games. Days? Where's he? Was at yeah. Saints forever, wasn't
he? He went from Saints, didn't he, there? Yes, okay.
Reason was he was they were near the bottom after a disastrous run. And right, so third, Lee Centurions 2021, nine games, no wins.
Oh.
Lee Leopards or Lee Centurions.
2021, so not that long ago.
No. Ex-Warrington player? Oh, struggling here, aren't you? Initials JD.
JD. John.
Yes.
John. John.
Sounds like player just gone back to Australia, fullback from Warrington. Sounds
John
like.
Duffy. John Duffy.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Yes. Nine games. This quiz is shit, isn't it? With our fucking. Second.
I'll put some music over it. We'll buff it out. We'll be fine. Don't worry.
Oh. Second,
I'll
Saint
put
Helens.
Techno over it, really. Till I think that's what we need.
No fucking Jesus. St. Helens, 2000. Six games, they got sacked.
2000.
You know who it was? Yeah.
It's a long time ago. Yeah.
Fucking hell. Ellery Hanley. Jen, Jesus.
I was going to get that. I'd have got
no,
that.
No, you
then.
Weren't. You were really.
You'd given me the initials, I'd have got that.
After six games, he got rid of Ellery Hanley. That was
another one where he made it. I remember he made a few scathing comments.
Yeah, I think there's a big fallout. Anyway, Luke Robinson would be now second with his obviously fifth game and being sacked.
Okay.
But the number one in Super League history, who was sacked after three games? In 2016, Paul KR.
Three games.
Wow.
Give us the initials.
That's got to be another falling out then, hasn't it?
CC. He's still active and director of the club.
Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, God. Have you got
Chris Chester?
Chris Chester, yes.
Chris Chester.
Yes. Anyway, that's the end of the quiz. But I then found out subsequently, and I don't know if this is a wild card, but in the eve of Super League in 1996, Workington Town parted company
Tony
with
Smith.
The coach. No, zero games, because it was pre-season.
Oh.
Kurt Sorensen.
Oh, what did they?
No witness brought.
Kurt Sorensen.
Yeah. So he was officially the coach at the beginning of the year, but they didn't even play a game and he was sacked. Or he parted company.
Well, I wouldn't have liked to have told him he was on his way.
No. Apparently it was club restructuring after the launch. So there you go.
Belting
right, forward. So that's the end of the quiz. I've got one more bit of news just to sort of round off. Amidst the crisis at Leeds this week after losing to Hull, the former Director of Diversity and Inclusion and Culture, or Director of DIC, JJB, Jamie Jones Buchanan, who is now actually CEO, to be fair, he raised the important point on strategic vision this week with identifying logos as a need of an update. Yes, the Rhino may need an update, he was quoted as saying in Love Rugby League. So a spokesman for the club said that they intend to put a poll out for the fans to provide their feedback. So that's a good idea, isn't it? Do you think?
It's very good.
The right thing. Do you think updating the sort of, logos, do you think we should do that? Because we've had two, have we not? Did we not have the Paul Cullen one with a barbed wire around it?
God. One that looked like it was made with a crayon, that one.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if they need refreshing. Did they refresh them in the NRL?
We should all refresh and have a condiment placed on our badge. We could have HP sauce because we're quite spicy this year, aren't we?
Yeah, I see. Condiments, yeah. Well, anyway, Leeds have engaged with a local girl who's scantily clad pole dancer, dressed in a rhino-themed outfit as she looks forward to the fans producing their appreciation, but warned them not to get too close, of touching is not permitted and not a response for the pole dancer, and recommended that whatever is decided, they should remove the horn from the rhinos. Mm. So lesson learned there.
Their Pole's going to play in the NRL, isn't he? They're forward. He's a Pole.
He is.
Oh, yes. That's three Poles in one. Didn't get better on tackle gags.
Predictions.
We can predict the future. Or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Three games to predict. First up, Warrington's biggest test of the season so far, with a trip to Headingley this Sunday to take on the Leeds Rhinos. It's a 5:30 p.m. tea time start. Then on Easter Saturday, Wire have a Challenge Cup quarter-final dress rehearsal when they host the Lee Leopards in the Super League. This one is a 3 p.m. kickoff. And then we move on to Lee in the Challenge Cup, again at the HJ, Saturday the 11th of April, back to a 5:30 p.m. start. So, Leeds, is it a test or isn't it a test? Now, Sam Burgess, in his interview at the start, said they were in great form. But are they, Sam? Are they in great form? Let's run through their games so far this season. So they started off with a win in the Challenge Cup away at Widnes. They won 25-12. Then they lost in the first round of Super League to Lee, 26-14. They won in round two, Leeds 46, York 14. It was off to Vegas, where we all suddenly thought Leeds were the real deal, beating Hull KR 58-6. They then won in round four again, Leeds 22, Castleford 4, if you think about how much points we put on Castleford. But they've lost their last two, both away from home. Yes. They lost in the Challenge Cup to Wakefield, 24-14, and they lost last weekend in round five away at Hull, 24-16. So are they the real deal?
I think the away is the key there. Away at Wakefield, away at Hull. In round one, they had a few players missing away at Lee.
Right.
I think there'll be a different proposition.
Yeah. I agree. If you wanted a home fixture after two losses, this is when you want it, right? This is when you want to get it back on track against a good opponent like Warrington. I think this will be a belting game. Absolute belting game. Dennis, you tipped Leeds.
I don't think Brad Arthur's happy. That's all I can say.
Is he ever happy?
He moved, didn't he?
I heard in some interview, he wherever he was living, he didn't like. Do you think he was in Armley, where you were?
Oh, Jesus, no. Christ. Remember when I had that flat that overlooked the prison?
Oh,
Jesus,
Christ.
That was depressing.
You know why he had that? Because he wouldn't pay to live in Headingley, Sam. So he goes and lives in Armley. It was about £3 less a week. He was basically living in Armley prison. He looked out of his window.
It was.
You see the inmates waving back to him.
But the fact was that Alan Bennett lived in that road as well.
Did he?
Yes, he lived in that road. Yeah, Armley Terrace, I think it was. Yeah. So, quite depressing. It's probably why I'm like it.
Was it the pub called something like the Ferret We Know Tackle or something down the road?
No, that was one that we made up, I think.
You live with two drug dealers, if I remember rightly.
Yes, I did, yeah.
You used to queue up down the road on a Friday afternoon.
Oh, everybody used to get all sorts coming into the front room and just sort of like sat there and be like, right, I'm going to have breakfast now. And there's like a whole gang of them there. Yeah.
Well, just a sec. Before we move on, a couple of things Leeds-wise.
Oh, right. Yep.
A little pattern. The last one, two, three, four, five games. A deck pattern over five games is Warrington at Headingley lost this weekend. Exactly. And of course, we played our first game in Super League was away at Headingley.
Oh, they're going to wank on about this, aren't they? Oh, yeah.
They will wank on about
this. Oh, God.
Warrington Warrington were winners. Warrington were winners 20-18, and a couple of players I thought would be very apt to mention in that match. Our left winger was
Matiaki Maffey. Yes, correct.
Yes, at halfback, at standoff rather, Yestin Harris.
Do you know what? I'm at that game.
I was.
And there we won it. Didn't he score down? He scored down the left edge. He was rapid. It was like his first game, wasn't it?
It wasn't his first game, no. But no. Harris scored. Ian Knott scored. Maffey scored. And Paul Sculthorpe was loose forward. And for Leeds, Adrian Morley was loose forward. So there you go.
I think I was watching an Alan Bennett film in Darnley.
Which one?
I don't know.
Woman in the Van. What's it called?
No, that's a later one, isn't it?
That was much later.
Actually, for equivalent, you know, A level drama, my daughter did Cream Cracker Under the Settee. Thora Heard.
How is it?
Yeah. Last week, Dennis lost £14.38. Sam lost a catastrophic 97 pence. Ho, 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 ho! I won another £107.50 with my £900 bet, 8-1 on. So the balances at the moment are Sankey's on £102.50. He owes the bank £100 from last year, though. Just remember that. You, Dennis, are on £330.88. That's very good.
I'll soon get that down.
I'm on £1,162.03. So. Mm. Excellent.
I'd be winning if Tangano was a quad bet. But anyway, this week I'm going to go £15 Liam Byrne, because obviously Tanganoa's odds have come down. And I'm going to go £15.88 on Wire.
Oh, positive.
Right.
Mm, absolutely. Okay. Might as well carry on the optimistic express.
Sam?
No, you go first while I'm just deciding.
All right.
Whether to go 74p or 86.
It's a pointless game to bet on. So I'll have a pound on Wire to win, because it's just not worth losing your money. The odds will be so evenly keeled both ways. But I will have, I think, Matty Ashton's in. Is Matty Ashton going to be up against Sebo? How does it work, Sam?
No.
Right,
be the opposite.
All right,
so, side.
And Ashton will be like 5-1 or something. But I'm flush, aren't I? So I'll have £50 on Ashton. He'll be about 5-1.
How much have you got again?
I've got £1,162.
And you just come to the conclusion £50.
Well, it's pointless. You can't win any money on this game. It's the games you can win money on are the games when you play teams that are absolutely
Why don't you put £500 on Philbin? that mixed it up a bit.
No.
Boom.
Okay.
Bust.
So,
this is pointless. What's so I about to say? Absolutely pointless.
No, this is not that.
We're talking pennies. Every week we're talking pennies.
the four wingers, I thought that was very important. I'm glad you reminded me there. Ryan Hall on one wing, and I'm sure you said Sebo. It's Sebo. I'm sure it's not quite that. It's pronounced like that. Anyway, two big, powerful wingers for them, but they're slow against
combined
two
age
rapid
of
wingers.
128.
Yes. Yeah. If we let them within 10 meters of our line, they can power over. But I think we've got the pace there. So I'm going Josh Smith to score first.
How much?
A fiver.
That's a lot of money for you. Are you sure you want to spend £5?
It is. Yeah. And I'll go 50 pence on Leeds.
Pathetic. Absolutely.
No, I'll go a fiver on Leeds just simply
to
see
if I can put £50 on Matty Ashton.
No, let him put a fiver on. He'd win about 40 pence.
Yeah.
You got more to lose than you have to win there, Sam. Anyway, that's what you want to do. That's fine. Okay, that's it. Have a great...
No, it's not.
Oh,
is Are we not betting on Lee as well?
Oh, God.
Do we have to? Right.
Yeah, let's do
should we
Lee
just
as
say,
well. No,
should
we'll
we
do
just
Lee
say,
as well.
Double up. All right.
Right, Lee's okay. A bit more. Right, Dennis, Lee at home.
Okay.
Not betting on the Challenge Cup, but Lee at home. Are they going to put all their eggs in one basket and basically rest everyone and have a go at the Challenge Cup? Is that the way they're going to do this?
Well, they've been really struggling with injuries. I don't know who will be back for that game. It's two weeks hence, isn't it?
Right, okay. Mm. All right, Dennis.
Right, I'm going to put £20 on Liam Byrne and £5 on Lee.
£5? Now, do you think Lee will win, or you just is this just trying to make money?
I've got a funny feeling they might just do something there.
They might just do it.
The Leeds match, like you say, is going to be quite crucial one way or another.
Yeah.
We'll either get too excited, or we'll be all down and out, and Lee will bounce back.
All right. I'm going to have, and I don't know if he's going to play, but I'm going to have £10 on Ewan Irwin in this game. I think he might have bedded in by this stage and have a little dummy and go at the line. But I will have £700 on a wire win.
Mm. Yeah.
See, with all that money, he can afford to play big, can't he? Hard and fast. I will go £20 on a wire win, and I'll go Josh Smith again. Fiver.
Mm.
Have you got the money to cover this, Sam? Are you in that predicament yet where you haven't got enough money left?
Not yet. Not yet.
Yeah. Okay,
I was just going to say, just to finish off then, Lee are really struggling at the moment, aren't they? That's where we are, Sam, is it?
That's where we are this week.
Let's have a prediction as well then. So we've got three games until the pod comes back. How many wins are we having in those three, Dennis? Leeds, Lee, both in Super League, and then Lee in the Challenge Cup.
I think we're having two. We've got two wins. We're going to trip.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Sam?
I'm agreeing with that. Two wins.
So you're both thinking we're losing at Leeds. Is that where the loss is coming? First loss this weekend? Come on.
No, now I always think it's a strange one when you're playing the same team 2 weeks in a row.
So you think that's the loss? You can think you both believe we'll beat Leeds.
Yes,
we'll beat Leeds. Sam,
no, I think it's going to be I think it'd be a cracker. It could go either way. Leeds, I'm not confident, but I'm going there with hope that we can.
But who do you think will win? Come on, give us. I know you're sitting on the fence there, but I want to. Who's winning the game? Wire or Leeds?
Well, I've just put a fiver on Leeds, haven't I? Leeds, so I'll have to say Leeds.
So you're both going Leeds. All right.
What about you, Rob?
Well, I'm trying to be positive. I don't know what you two are like. You're so negative all the time. I mean, Christ. I think we'll win all three. And I think we'll win all three with a forward pass. Okay. That's it. Have a great break, everyone. Don't eat too many Easter eggs. And the podcast will be back out of its shell, resurrected on the 15th of April. So until then, it's a goodbye from me, Mr. London, a goodbye from Master Sankey.
All the best.
And a goodbye from Sir Dennis Waywell.
Be seeing you.
You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Did you just knock that with your micro penis?
I just knocked my micro penis against the mic there.
Stand outside this woman's work. This woman's word was hard on the man. Now his part is over. Now